The following sermon is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
Well, a lot of you maybe have been watching March Madness lately, and the basketball, the excitement, everyone trying to be win the five games in a row so they can make it to the end and be the national champions. Maybe some of you haven't been watching that, though. But a lot of you are involved in sports, so you like to watch sports. And some athletic competitions are a great illustration of a lot of truths in the Bible. And this morning, I want to use the basketball team. Levi Francis, as you know, Levi, you want to raise your hand. He played basketball this year at Comstock Park. And there's some parallels between what Romans 12 talks about and Levi playing basketball at Comstock Park, or you participating in whatever else you might have done in your life. So, for example, Levi was selected to be on the team. He had to try out. I'm not sure how many people tried out and how many people got cut. But let's say he was in downtown Chicago trying out. Maybe he would have had, the coach maybe would have had to be a lot more merciful to let him be on the team. Being in Comstock Park, Levi was right up there, one of the best in the school, I'm sure. But anyway, just imagine though for a moment that the team had hundreds of people as good as Michael Jordan, and the coach still chose Levi, even though Levi's not quite as good as Michael Jordan. So Levi's on the team now, and being selected, being chosen, he should be very thankful, very grateful to Coach Barry that he chose him to be on the team. And so he would want to give 110% and try his hardest all the time, at practice, at the games. And if the rest of the team did that, if they give 110% and really try their hardest, they're going to have a good chance at being successful. But they also have to use their brains. They have to use their abilities. So if Levi tries to bring the ball up the court, pass it to himself as he posts up, then shoot a three-pointer right after that, it may not work out very well. Whereas if he lets Matt Heineke bring the ball up the court, he lets Ben Darren post up, and Levi runs the screen, takes a jump shot, gets a rebound, whatever. If he uses his gifts, his abilities, in the right way that he's designed to do, then the team will function a lot better. In a lot of ways, the body of Christ, the church, is very similar. We, all of us who know Christ Jesus personally, we've been chosen by God. He's chosen us, and we responded by faith and by obedience, by saying yes to him. And because of that, we should say, God, here I am. I give myself to you. I'm yours. And at the same time, he wants us to engage our brains and to think about, how can I serve him? How has he gifted me to serve him in the body? If all of us try to be the center or the point guard, it doesn't work. We all have different roles. And if we try to play just for ourselves, if Levi goes out there and just thinks about himself, it's not going to work very well. He has to think about the other people on the team. And likewise, in the church, we have to think about each other. How can I use my gifts? How can you use your gifts to build each other up? And a lot of times, we all know we're supposed to be involved in ministry, but it's sometimes hard to see how that connects with giving ourselves to God. We know we need to give ourselves to God and worship him, and we know that we need to love each other. But I want us to see in Romans 12 today the connection that really giving ourselves wholly to God and going and loving each other wholeheartedly are hand in hand. You can't give yourself wholly to God without going and loving each other wholeheartedly and serving each other. And I want each of us this morning to think about, am I using my gifts? Am I loving people around me in the body? We're going to talk more about that. And the main point of it is worship. It's all about worship. And by worship, I don't just mean singing. The singing that we do on Sunday morning can be worship. It is worship if your heart is responding to God and what he's done. But worship is a lifestyle. It's all of who we are if we know Christ. It's serving him. It's giving yourself to him. When you go to work tomorrow morning, that's worship if you're working unto God and working hard and doing a good job at it and having integrity and not stealing money. When you take care of your kids, that's worship. When you do it with a heart of love and patience and you do the hard things and you shepherd them. When you make a meal, when you eat a meal, you can do all that. You can take the garbage out. Everything can be worship. And so God wants us to give ourselves to him in worship. But he wants us also to think about, and to do that in the context of thinking about what he's done for us. It should be a response to him. So if you look at our bulletin, when it talks about what are we about at Maranatha Bible Church, it says we're about God-centered worship, in which the character and work of our great God and Savior are properly exalted. All of us who call Maranatha our home, all of you who are members here or who are regular attenders here, this is what we're about. And those of you who are visiting, hopefully this is what you're about too. We want to all be about God-centered worship, saying, God, you are amazing. We love you. We want to give ourselves to you. And then the second one, it says expositional preaching, understanding what God's word says. That's how we can't give ourselves to him and worship him without knowing him and understanding his word. And then the next thing, edifying fellowship, is what I really want to focus today, is what we're all about, in which every member actively serves and spurs others on toward maturity in Christ. We need to use our gifts, use ourselves, our bodies, to love each other, to help each other to know Christ. And a lot of you are doing that in a lot of great ways, but I want to encourage you, if you're already serving and ministering in the church, if you're already serving your family, if you're already serving in your community, I want to encourage you that do that out of response to who God is. Put those two together. Think of giving myself to God and serving the church, serving my family, other people. It goes together. They're not isolated. Because you can't wash God's car. You can't teach God a Sunday school lesson. You can't go and give God a cup of water. But he says in Matthew 25, if you do that for the least of these, you did it unto me. So I want to motivate all of us who are ministering and loving each other. Remember, you're doing that unto God too. And that should give us great joy, great motivation. It should give us power to do that. Some of you, so to speak, are on the sidelines. You're not in the game necessarily as far as using your gifts and serving and loving each other. And maybe that's because you're not sure how to do it. Maybe it's because no one's ever talked to you about that or helps you see what ways you could get involved, whether it's in the church or whether in your family or out in the community, whatever. And I want to encourage you this morning. There's ways you can be involved. There's ways you can use your gifts, if you know Christ, to love each other. And you should look for those ways. You should think about it and consider how you can better love and serve others. And there's some of you maybe who are being hindered because you're upset. Maybe you're upset at someone else. Something's blocking you. Maybe there's some barrier in your life, some sin, or something that's keeping you from serving others and using your gifts. And I want to encourage you this morning. We need you. We need each other. We're a body. Julie Dykstra's kidney has a big cyst on it, and they have to do surgery to get that cyst out of there because her body needs her kidney. We need each other. Our body can't function without each other. So if you're not using your gifts to love and serve each other in your own family, in our church family, we're missing out, and you're missing out. So I want to encourage you, whatever the reason is, whether you're not motivated, whether you're hindered by being upset or by something being in the way, or whether you're just not sure how to do it, this morning, I want to encourage you, use your gifts to love and serve others. We need you, the body of Christ. We need each other. And it's really Christ through us. He provides through you what each of us needs. So I want to look at Romans 12 and look at how we can respond to God by worshiping him. And if you're an outline kind of person and you want to do an outline, the two main points today are going to be give yourself wholly to God. So you could put holy, H-O-L-Y, or W-H-O-L-L-Y. So give all of yourself and give yourself wholly to God. It doesn't matter either way. Give yourself wholly to God and go and love each other wholeheartedly. Those are the two main things we're going to look at briefly. But look at Romans 12 with me. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, in according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. Or he who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. In verse 9, I'll read that too. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So this morning, I want to encourage us, coming to church on Sunday morning is not just about doing that because it's the tradition of what we always do. We come to church on Sunday morning because we want to give ourselves wholly to God, and we want to go and love each other and use our gifts to serve each other. If you're coming here, we want to hear God's word and respond to it, but it's also to do Hebrews 10:24 and like Camp Awakai talked about this summer, to spur each other on to love and good deeds, right? That's what we're here for, to have relationships with each other so that we can love each other and help each other to grow. Look at the people around you. Christ wants to use you in their lives in a variety of ways. And that's exciting. This isn't just some event that we come and do just because it's our tradition. It's because we really serve a living God who wants to work in us and through us and cause us to know him and to become more like him through what happens here every Sunday and throughout the week. If you're involved in a small group, I want to encourage you. It's not just to answer some questions and do a Bible study. It's very important to answer questions and do a Bible study, but that's not the only reason. The end goal of that small group is that each of you would become more like Christ, that you would have a close relationship with each other and be able to encourage each other. So if you're not in a small group, I encourage you, get involved in a small group. It's a great way to get to know other people and to grow in your faith. But if you are in a small group, I encourage you, think about it. It's not just to say, I answer the questions. and I did the Bible study. That's awesome if you're doing that. Keep doing that. But take that Bible study that we're doing, and from there, how can we love each other? How can we help each other to live out what this Bible study is saying we should do? How can we grow? How can we become more like Christ because of what this word says? So this morning we want to talk about two things: giving yourself wholly to God and going and loving each other wholeheartedly. So give yourself wholly to God and go and love each other wholeheartedly. Look at Romans 12, verse 1. We're going to talk about first giving yourself wholly to God. So the context of Romans, like Mike was talking about, is Romans 1 through 3 talks about our need for a Savior. We're all sinners. We're dead. We don't have any life spiritually on our own. And then Romans 4 and 5 talks about how we're saved through faith. Your faith in Christ saves you. And you're made alive. And you're His child then. And then Romans 6 through 8 talks about how you being with Christ works out in your sanctification. And you're becoming like Christ. And then Romans 9 through 11 talks about Israel and the church and about our salvation. And about how God has had mercy on us. And how through us hearing the gospel, God's called to us. And He's given us faith. And we've been made alive and been made His children. It's amazing passages in Romans 9 through 11 that makes me realize I should be thankful that I'm God's child, that I'm saved. And then right here in verse 12, in Romans 12, like Mike said, this is now the application. Really, Romans 12 through 15 is basically, he's saying, because of all this truth, love each other. It's primarily how you could summarize it. Give yourself to God and love each other. And these verses here, really the main verbs are right there in verse 1 about presenting yourself a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. The rest of it is a bunch of little phrases describing how that looks. So the first thing he says is, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. He's appealing to them. He's urging them. He's saying, brothers, you, I urge you. He's saying, please listen. I need you to listen. I urge you. He's not just like, well, if you do this, that's great. You know, if not, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. Just, it's up to you. No, he's saying, please listen. Do this. This is so important. And he says, by the mercies of God. And he says, therefore. So he's pointing back. He's saying, because Christ has had mercy on you. He could have condemned you to hell because of your sin. He could have poured out His wrath on you. But because He loves you and chose to save you, do this now. Give yourself to Him. He says, present yourselves a sacrifice. And then He describes the sacrifice with three words: living, holy, and acceptable to God. He says, give yourself as a sacrifice. And they've been used to giving sacrifices of lambs and sheep, the Jews had anyway. And He's saying, no, because of Christ's sacrifice, you no longer have to pay for your sin. But give yourself to God as a sacrifice. But lest you think it's some kind of suicidal thing, He's saying as a living sacrifice. Each day, give your body to God as a living sacrifice. So He's saying this isn't just an intellectual thing. It's not just a ooey-gooey feeling kind of thing. It's a practical how you live, what you do with your hands, with your head, with your mouth, with your feet, what you do with your body, with your life. Give that to God. Say, God, here it is. I want to serve You. And then He says, as a holy sacrifice. So set apart for Him. Set apart from sin. That's why we encourage each other to repent of our sin. When you and I struggle with sin daily throughout the week, we encourage each other, brother, sister, repent. Turn away from that. And I need you to help me with that. And you need me. We all need each other to remind each other to turn away from our sin, to be holy. And then pleasing to God. The point of being a sacrifice is to do what would be pleasing to God. Think about, God, what would You want me to do? It's not just, here you go, God, and then you just kind of sit there on the couch and, okay, God, You're not doing anything yet. No, He says, think about what would be pleasing to God. He says in the end of verse 1, He says, which is your spiritual worship, where your act of spiritual worship. And literally it means your thoughtful service. It's your reasonable service, your thoughtful service. As a result of thinking about what the Bible says and about what Christ has done for you and what He's commanded you, this is your act of service that is right to do. Worship is really service. It's giving yourself to God. It's saying, God, you're so worthy. I want to give myself to You. And so that's what this verse is saying for us to do, is give ourselves to God and think about how we can serve Him and serve Him in a thoughtful way. In verse 2, he goes on and explains, how can you give yourself wholly to God? He says, first, don't be conformed to this world. Sharon Orient does, during day camp, a ceramics craft. And when they make those ceramics, I don't think you guys mold them in the class, do you? You mostly do painting and stuff. Right. But whoever made them before, though, they had to mold them. They had to shape them. And this verse is saying, don't be molded or shaped by the world, by the sinful ways of the world. Don't do that. So turn away from sin. In order to give yourself to God, you have to turn away from sin and not be molded by the world. And secondly, he says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. So he says the second thing, the way you offer yourself to God is by having yourself transformed inwardly, changed inwardly. The word is literally like metamorphosis, like a butterfly goes through a change from being a caterpillar to a butterfly. He wants us inside to be changed from being selfish, individualistic people to being others-focused and loving God-focused. It's a change that happens inside of us, in our hearts. And then, how does it happen? It says by the renewal of your mind. So, how are you going to be able to give yourself to God wholly? You have to renew your mind. How do we renew our mind? It's through the Bible, through meditating on God's Word, through hearing it taught, through thinking about it. So, as you are changed in your thinking, then your life changes, your heart changes, and then you're able to discern, to prove what God's will is, what's good and perfect and acceptable. And why do you want to prove what God's will is? Because you want to give yourself to Him and you want to serve Him, and you have to think about how to do it. How do you live it out? How is your life going to change based on what God says in His Word? So basically, He's saying, give yourself wholly to God and think biblically and then live biblically. And so each of us need to consider, am I being conformed to the world? Am I letting the sin and the ways of the world shape what I do? Am I being selfish? Am I being unforgiving? Am I being bitter? Am I holding on to what I want? Or am I willing to give that up and give it to God? And secondly, am I being transformed? Are you undergoing that internal change that lasts your whole life until you see Jesus face to face, where you're letting Him change your mind and your heart with His Word as you think about it? And then, are you discerning in your life? Think about Sunday through Saturday. How can I use my days this week to serve God at work? In my home, maybe I can take the garbage out with a joyful attitude. Maybe I can wash those dishes. Maybe I can go and tell a story to my kid or whatever it might be. Or maybe I can go to work and work hard and do that extra job that my boss didn't even expect me to do. Think about how you can serve. Maybe I can write a note to that brother or sister in the church. Or maybe I can go to a small group and have prayed for the people that are there and really care about them. Or maybe I can come on Sunday morning and try to find someone I don't know yet and get to know them. Whatever it is, think about how you can serve God and worship Him. And then secondly, he talks here about how giving yourself wholly to God should result in going and loving others. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that he has assigned." So he's basically saying, don't think about yourself too highly. Don't be prideful. Don't think that you don't need anybody else. Like if Levi thinks that he's Michael Jordan and that he doesn't need anybody, even Michael Jordan needed other people on the team. But if he thinks that he can be the point guard, the center, and the forward, and the three, and every other position, he's not going to do very well. And yet in the Christian life, a lot of times, I struggle with thinking this way, you struggle with thinking this way, I don't need other people. I can just do this on my own. I have Christ, I have the Holy Spirit, which is true. You have Christ in you if you know Him. But we need each other. He wants to use other people in the body to help us to grow. So all you need is Christ, but He works in and through other people to minister to you, and He works through you to minister to others. So the way He's designed it is we need each other. And this verse is saying, don't think of yourself too highly, but think as you ought to think. Think with sober judgment, as each one has been given faith by God. So He's saying, think rightly. Have a right mind about things, about the way everything works. In verse 4, He elaborates more. He says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." So he's saying, just like a body has many members, but it's one body, and they don't all have the same function, we're one body in Christ. We're unified. Look around you. The people around you, we're the body of Christ together, the local body of Christ at Maranatha Bible Church. We're a body. We really need each other. Some of us are like veins. And ask Brian, if your veins don't work right, it's not good, is it? Some of us are like bones or sinews, and really all of them have the same honor. It doesn't. You might say, oh, the mouth is more important than the kidney, or the liver is more important than the bone joint. But really all of them are important. All of us have had stuff go wrong with our body, and if anything goes wrong, it's not very fun, is it? You don't like it when anything goes wrong. We need each other. So he's saying here in verse 4 and 5, we're members of each other. We're in the body of Christ, and we're members of each other. We need each other. And verse 6 says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So let us use them. Saying we all have gifts that have been given to us by God, so He wants us to use those gifts to serve each other. There's a lot of confusion about spiritual gifts. What does it mean? Do I have the gift of teaching, or I don't have the gift of teaching? Are there gifts like tongues and healings and things like that? But basically, if you look at 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11, it breaks it down into two categories mainly. There's gifts of speaking and gifts of serving. And then there's also what Todd's talked about as sign gifts. And we believe that sign gifts, the ones that were given to show that Jesus really was God, he really was the Messiah, that those aren't really in use in the church. Those have faded away with the coming of this age, the church age. And so primarily, there's the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. There's a lot of controversy with the sign gifts, but we're not even going to get into that right now because that's not part of this passage here. So the main point is there's gifts of speaking and gifts of serving. But what is a spiritual gift? Wayne Grudem has basically described it as it's an ability that the Holy Spirit empowers and uses to build up the church. So maybe you're a great teacher anyway in general. But if it's a spiritual gift that you have of teaching, then when you teach, it's God speaking through you and using you. Or maybe you're great at fixing stuff. But when you're doing that in the context of serving others in the church, it's the Holy Spirit empowering you and helping you and glorifying himself through that. So it's not just natural abilities. It's stuff that God empowers you and works in a special way through you to do. But it goes along with your natural abilities and it complements those things. God knew what he was doing when he put us together. Now you look at, for example, Brian and Brian and Brian. Brian Carpenter, Brian Brazier, and Brian Burgess. All three of them, if you know them, you know that they're very gifted with serving and helping. But does that mean that they can't teach or shepherd or encourage people? No, they do. I've seen each of them doing that. They can exhort people and encourage people. It doesn't mean that you're just limited to one thing. All of us really have to do all the gifts in one function or another. You all have to give. We all have to give. We all have to serve and help. We all need to speak truth to each other. We all need to encourage. So what does it mean if someone has the gift of something? It means they're especially gifted in that area to lead and help others and equip others to do those things. People like Brian and Brian and Brian are great at helping others learn how to serve and help too. They're leaders in those areas. There's others of you that are great at teaching. Take, for example, Rhonda Nixon and Lori West. You do a lot of the teaching up in the children's church and other people in here. That Linda Patton that helps with the day camp lessons and other people that are good at teaching. There's a lot of you that are great at teaching. Mike, Tim, you've shown us how you're gifted at teaching. That doesn't mean that only they're the only ones who are going to teach, though. All of us need to be able to explain truth, even to our kids, to our friends, to people around us. But those people that God has gifted that way can especially use that gift to lead and to equip others to do that. And they're going to be especially used that way. So does it matter if you know exactly what your gift is in order to be able to serve in the body? No. Just focus on loving other people. Realize that you're part of this body and look around and see, what does this person next to me need? They need their car fixed. Well, I don't know how to do that. If I got in your car, I'd probably make it worse. So I might call somebody else. But then maybe I could learn from that other person. If they're struggling with some issue of sin or with believing something, or they need to be explained something more clearly about the Bible, if you don't know how to do that, then find someone else who can. But even in you trying to do those things, you might realize that you have some gifts you didn't realize. The main point about the gifts is what 1 Corinthians 13 says. It's love each other. Focus on loving each other. Look around and see, how can I love the people around me? That's the main point. So he says in verse 6 through 8, he explains some ways that we should love each other using our gifts. He says, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So all those things, being merciful, giving, leading, those are all things that we all need. But some of you are more strongly gifted in those areas, and we need your help even more. But we need all of us, though. We need relationships with each other, to love each other, to speak truth to each other. So I encourage you, if there's a broken relationship between you and someone else in the body of Christ, make that right. Even today, when we get done, go to that person and talk to them. If there's someone that's offended you or that there's a conflict between you and someone, work those things out. We need to have a body where we've all forgiven each other and we have freedom to love each other and serve each other. So I challenge you, don't allow bitterness or anything to get in the way of us loving each other. Sometimes it's laziness. If you're struggling with being lazy, you don't have the motivation to go and love other people around you. How does it all start? It all starts with looking at Christ and saying, you gave so much to me, so I should give back to you by giving to others and serving them. And it's not saying you have to be involved in every program in the whole church. No, just look around and see, how can I love and serve other people? Get involved in a small group. Just do something. Think of one thing that you can do. And if you're already doing that, then keep doing that. But think about how you're doing it, and it's worship towards God. It's not just something that you do. So I encourage each of you, look around and see, how can I love other people more? Because God has loved me. How can I give myself more to other people and use my gifts? And start trying to find ways to get involved. There's plenty of opportunities if you want to see about teaching. There's plenty of opportunities to try teaching with kids, with people in small groups, with whatever situation. If you want to learn more about teaching, talk to someone who is teaching right now and try to learn from them. If you want to get involved more with serving, there's plenty of opportunities. There's snow to be shoveled, which thankfully we don't need any snow shoveling right now because the weather's been great. There's bathrooms to be cleaned. There's other things to be done. There's people who need help at their houses. There's all kinds of ways. It doesn't have to be through the structure of the church. You can just go out and love someone somehow. If you are struggling with being merciful towards someone else, with using mercy, there's some of you that are great at showing mercy to other people. Go with them to the hospital sometime or when they have a conversation with someone and learn from them about how to be merciful. There's so many different gifts that God has given us in this body that we can learn from each other. And so I encourage you, look for ways to love each other because of how Christ has loved us. So a few things to ask yourself in conclusion. Are you giving yourself wholly to God? Are you repenting of sin? I encourage you this morning, all of us, we need to be giving ourselves to God and saying, God, here I am, I'm yours. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I encourage you today, Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again, and he is Lord, he's God. So say yes to him. Be willing to turn away from your sin and embrace him as your Savior and your Lord. But all of us who know him as our Savior, let's give ourselves to him today. Secondly, are you being conformed to the world? Are you letting the world mold and shape you with being individualistic and selfish? Or are you being transformed in your mind, thinking about God's truth and letting him transform you? Thirdly, are you remembering that you're part of a body and that we need each other? Get involved in a small group. Make a friend this morning with someone. Be open with someone. Get to know each other better so we can minister to each other. But finally, I want to conclude by reading the last part of Romans 12. And think about what these verses are saying in regards to loving each other. And think of any of them that might apply to your life as I read them. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So, in conclusion, this morning, let's give ourselves wholly to God because of what he's done for us and because of who he is. And let's go and love each other wholeheartedly because of who Christ is and what he's done for us.
You've been listening to a sermon presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.